Joining us this morning for a legislative update and a community connection, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be on with you.
Well, good to have you. And here we are. We're just continuing to plow through this session. Can you get us an update on budgets?
Yes. Yeah, so April 25th is the scheduled final day of session, and the big push is to get all three budgets approved by then. The Senate has already approved its three budget proposals, the operating budget, the transportation budget, and the capital budget. I voted for the transportation budget and the capital budget, but I voted against the operating budget. As we talked about, I think last week, you know, the operating budget proposal just proposes to spend too much. The current two-year budget is about $54 billion, and this would bump it up to $59 billion, which over the past two or 6 years, I mean, we've seen a really significant growth in the budget, well beyond population, well beyond inflation. And so basically the operating budget proposal, even the House Democratic proposal, which has already passed the House, basically spends all of our rainy day fund, uses all of the revenue from the recent revenue forecast, and would spend that. And both budgets assume that capital gains income tax. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I'm not comfortable with that budget. But in the end, what happens is the House and Senate budget negotiators for each of those three respective budgets will be meeting over the next week or two to try to iron out the differences. And then they'll bring those back for a floor debate and a vote. And ultimately, both the House and the Senate and the governor need to all agree on the exact same budget document for each of those three budgets. So it's quite a process to get there, but we're still on schedule to do that, and we expect to do that by April 25th.
We've been hearing about a few different items here as well: cap and trade, low carbon fuel, gas taxes. It all sounds kind of intertwined. Can you sort it out for us and kind of tell us what the difference is and what it means?
Yeah, I'll certainly try. And you're right, it is intertwined. So there's a big climate bill this year that the governor's been pushing, cap and trade, which basically would propose to cap the carbon emissions in our state over time and reduce that cap over time. But then it sets up a government, basically a growth in government through the Department of Ecology to run this whole program, where businesses that are carbon emitting businesses would need to apply to the State Department of Ecology for permission to emit. And so basically to get a permit to emit. And then over time, there's an opportunity for an auction for those permits and raising of revenue through the purchase of those permits. And then the extra revenue that there's the cap part, capping the emissions. And then that's the trade part, is where the permits get traded, or there's an auction, and then the revenue from that gets invested into both transportation projects as well as carbon reduction efforts. Some people call it cap and tax. Some people call it cap and invest. But technically, it's proposed as a cap and trade measure. And then the transportation bill is linked to that. I voted for that current transportation budget, but this is a separate proposal that would actually raise revenue beyond the current budget over 16 years, and it would propose to raise $18 billion, and $5 billion would be from the gas tax increases. They would also have $5 billion from a carbon fee, and then they would have some other revenue raisers as well. And so the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee just unveiled this transportation investment package yesterday, and all the taxes and things that would be included in that to get to the revenue that he wants to do the projects. And we'll be hearing that in the Transportation Committee soon. But what's interesting, Jeff, is that there is a clause that the Senate Democrat transportation chair included in the cap and trade bill that we just talked about. And that clause says that the cap and trade cannot become law unless this new transportation package also becomes law. So those two are linked. And there's, of course, this low carbon fuel standard bill, which you've heard about, which I'm happy to break down if you're interested.
Please.
Yeah. Okay. So the low carbon fuels bill is also a climate bill. You can see how these are a little bit confusing when you describe them all.
Mm-hmm.
The low carbon fuels standard is a climate bill, but it only applies to the transportation sector. And really, that's where most of our emissions are in our state, since we have such a clean electric sector. You know, some states have gas plants and coal plants and all these things. We're primarily a hydro-based plus wind and solar electric system. So our electric sector is pretty clean. The transportation sector is where we get all of our emissions for the most part in Washington. So this low-carbon fuels bill would set a carbon intensity standard for all fuel, and that the fuel producers with a higher intensity would need to purchase credits from biofuels and lower carbon intensity fuels. And so it's kind of like what I was describing with cap and trade, but it's like related to transportation fuel only. And it's not technically a gas tax, this low carbon fuel standard, but it could have the effect of increasing gas prices because the higher intensity carbon fuel producers would have to purchase credits from these lower ones over time, and that would presumably add to the cost of what most people fuel up with, at least at this point, which is gas and diesel fuel. So I'm not sure, Jeff, which one of these three bills, all three of them, or some sort of combination thereof, the climate cap and trade, the low carbon fuel standard, or the new transportation revenue investment package, which of these three bills, in addition to the budgets, will get approved this year. The governor's pushing for some of them. You have certain segments of legislators pushing for some versus others. And like I said, the cap and trade and the transportation package are kind of linked. So it'll be really interesting to see how this all plays out over the next couple of weeks while the budgets are working to be approved as well.
What are you hearing from your constituents regarding all of this excessive tax and yet the call for even more taxes?
Yeah, well, I've heard pretty clearly from our constituents, and some of them are still struggling from the COVID pandemic. And fortunately, what I've been hearing from the constituents is that they agree with my position, which is, you know, there's no need for the capital gains tax increases at this point, given the other state revenues, and it's not prudent to spend all of the reserve account when we have all this extra revenue growth. So I think there is good people can disagree, mm-hmm. and there are some philosophical differences, and we do have a wide range of different political opinions, even in the 12th district. But I think the majority of people in the 12th district agree that spending a $59 to $60 billion budget and basically spending all that we have is not the best idea. And it's not, Jeff, because if the economic downturn, if there's an economic downturn in the future and Washington State receives less revenue in those revenue forecasts, then what are we going to do? We're going to be committed to this huge budget, and there's going to be a hole in the budget. And at some point, we would either need to raise taxes even more to make up for that, or cut programs that we just implemented that are really popular to people. So I think it sets up a troubling situation in future years for our state to be spending that much. That's one of the things I'm hearing. Also, while some of the constituents do have strong concerns about climate, I think many other constituents don't want to pay significantly more at the gas pump. And if some of these bills, even in combination, like the cap and trade and the transportation package, or a new gas tax and this low carbon fuel standard is implemented, you're going to see potentially significant increases at the gas pump. And at a time when people are struggling, I just think people, you know, don't want to pay that much into the system. Mm-hmm. They want us to use tax existing tax dollars more efficiently.
Wow. Running short on time, can you give us a quick snapshot on what's ahead?
Yeah, so this week we're passing a lot of bills out of the Senate. These are House-passed bills that have been approved by the House and have come through Senate committees. And then likewise, that's what the House is doing. The Senate-approved bills that have successfully made its way through those committees in the House and are now potentially scheduled for a House floor vote. I still have three bills over there that are still alive, and I'm hoping this week, any day now, I'll start getting some of my three bills approved by the full House of Representatives. So we're pushing on that. We're pushing on budgets, and we're preparing for floor debate on these climate, low-carbon fuel standards and transportation bills. Mm.
Senator Brad Hawkins, thank you so much for your time this morning. Always good to have you on Making a Community Connection. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jeff. Always good to be on with the KOZI listeners. Thanks so much.